Hi everyone, my name is Jason Smith, and I want to welcome everyone to our physicians conference call today. And I just want to share a little bit about me. I've been in the specialty medical field for over 17 years, the last 10 years as a wound care consultant for a major Fortune 100 medical equipment manufacturer. And while there, I was in the top three consultants in the country out of approximately 110 people across the nation. I say that not necessarily to impress you, but more so to share with you the fact that I have a lot more patient contact and clinical experience than most clinicians. I became involved with nutritional products almost 12 years ago when I became ill with a debilitating illness. And like most people like yourselves, I went to the standard medical pharmaceutical protocol, but unfortunately that didn't work for me. It took me almost 3 years and many, many thousands of dollars of trying various nutritional products before I discovered some products that really, truly had life-changing results. The primary company I work with is Integris, which has a true breakthrough nutritional product, the Life Solubles, under the name of Rizotrine, which is made of rice, primarily all-natural, stabilized rice bran, under a stabilized proprietary process, and it's the most nutritionally dense product available today. And I'm on the call today to open up the forum to discuss some of the life-enhancing benefits that physicians are seeing when they're encountering this product either on themselves or on their patients. And I share this primarily with physicians and clinicians to help them be aware of some of the true options that they and their patients have in nutritional health care. Because a lot of times when I'm sitting in front of doctors and clinicians, a lot of them tell me whether they're dealing with a home care environment, acute care, long-term care, that their patients or customers are going out to the local vitamin or mineral store, they're purchasing product. A lot of doctors, the patients have expensive urine, or they're not getting a true result from the products that they're seeking or that they're taking, and they're not always getting a benefit, and sometimes there's even contraindications. And that's why I want to share some products that have no toxicity. They're the most nutritionally dense product worldwide. The patients are seeing true medicinal benefits from a non-toxic, all-natural food substance. And I just want to let all the doctors who are on the line with us right now just briefly introduce themselves if they have already. Then I'm going to open it up to Dr. Kellett, the founder for the Center of Advanced Medicine, and actually let them discuss what they've actually seen, as well as Dr. Kellett, but some of the other doctors, and why they're on the line with us today, just to find out more information or find out what's been occurring with other doctors. Is there any other doctors out there?
Well, they're all on star six.
Okay, that's fine. Well, I'll let Dr. Kellett open up then.
All right. I guess I'm open for questions, gentlemen. I have a feeling I've never
okay.
met Dr. Kellett,
medical community quiet. This is Jason. I've got one question.
Okay.
I was talking with certain physicians recently, and they're utilizing the product initially for a diabetic application, as well as potentially high blood pressure. But I was also sharing with them some things that I've seen as far as faster healing with the aspect of wounds and wound healing, wound care in general, and some of the other benefits that either patients or customers of Rizotrine have seen in just overall wellness. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, you know, the challenge has always been medicine. Every tool has its use. Our medicine is very good for helping, especially in acute cases. It's good for heading off things. We can lower blood pressure, but can we do it without affecting the energy of the patient? We can lower blood sugar, but can we stabilize the entire cellular structure so they don't have to get gangrene legs and lose some of those things because we tend to have cardiovascular problems? We can deal with the disease on the skin, but to deal with the wound itself and the healing is much more difficult, and for that requires nutrition. And you know, the argument for years has been you can get everything from your food, and then there's the whole other group which says you have to have supplements. And I've kind of come to the conclusion after studying the whole issue for a long time is both sides are partially right. You can get it all from your food. Unfortunately, you can't get it from your food if your food is growing in soil that doesn't have the nutrients in the soil. And the way we farm, we've essentially lowered our mineral quality by putting nitrogen, potassium, and phosphorus, NKP, in the soil just to make things grow, and that's not enough to make people healthy. we aren't putting zinc back in, and we aren't putting selenium and chromium. And of course, without chromium, you can't handle your insulin properly because chromium is required for insulin to be utilized by the cell. So what I'm trying to do is put back in the nutrients by taking a cup full of rice bran, which is the equivalent of about a half a bushel basket of rice in the way of carbohydrates. But it's the rice bran, which are the nutrients that allows you to handle those high white rice carbohydrates. And we take the bran itself and put it in, and it's amazing that the people all of a sudden can now utilize the carbohydrates properly. Without the nutrients, we have a hard time utilizing that. And if we don't utilize it, what happens is our cells start starving as far as what they get, and they start getting toxic, the two things that happen. So we start developing edema, some of the swelling situations, some of the inflammation, because now we get blood sugar swings, and if our blood sugar goes up and down, we essentially start developing microorganisms. If we get them in the mouth, of course, it can cause gingival problems, and if we cause gingival problems, if we find people with gingival problems, they're 300% more likely to have cardiovascular problems. And as we study the cardiovascular system, all the new research is showing that we have things like nanobacter, which are growing in the cardiovascular system, and by doing that, it changes the pH of the blood, and when that happens, it pulls out the calcium from the long bone, and it causes the liver to start kicking out more cholesterol, and the cholesterol and calcium, of course, make plaque and start closing down the arteries. So blood sugar, controlling it properly is important. It's not just insulin, because most of our type 2 diabetics have sufficient insulin. What they don't have are the sufficient nutrients to utilize the insulin. For example, just in our cell morphology, the chromium is required for insulin to turn sugar into glycogen. And if we're inadequate on vanadium will, too little vanadium will keep turning off our insulin. So vanadium keeps us from turning off the insulin. Chromium keeps us utilizing the insulin. That's just minerals. If we go into vitamins like B1 and one that we've discovered in rice bran called gamma-arisinol works with conjugated linoleic acid, CLA, to do something that's just amazing. It actually keeps the fat cell releasing fat as storage. Whenever the blood sugar goes low, you actually start burning fat, and it also helps to make healthy muscle. And so the healthy muscle, of course, burns in the high blood sugar times. It's going to burn energy, and the fat cells will be released in the low blood sugar times. So what happens is that gut that they start getting around the middle and the circulatory problems start clearing away. And when you take the sugar down in the bloodstream, then you don't have enough extra sugar to grow the nanobacter that is at the base of a lot of cardiovascular disease. And that's why when we're doing our C-reactive proteins and seeing the inflammation there, the inflammation starts going down, and it makes a huge difference. The other thing is you get the alpha-lipoic acid, which then allows the cell membrane to work properly in this area. So you have CLA inside the cell, alpha-lipoic on the cell, and in the bloodstream, of course, you have the chromium and B1 and things like that to utilize to make your enzymes and coenzymes to make the whole function of handling blood sugar. And if you took the top 5 diseases, 4 out of the 5 have to do with blood sugar. The first one, cardiovascular, with the nanobacter and those types of things. The second one, cancer, which, of course, is a fermenting cell, requires higher sugar but lower nutrient content to grow a cancer-type environment. Realizing there's many carcinogens, we don't want to have the environment for that. And then diabetes, blood sugar, and then, of course, strokes, which all involve the blood sugar. So our top killers and disease process are all involved with that. So it's important if you can control blood sugar, of course, you can control a good portion of what happens with the patient. And with regard to things like wound healing, of course, gangrene is one of the major things we're trying to avoid on diabetics, for example. And as the circulation clears and the nutrients get there, then the wounds heal quicker and the patient gets better. So there's sort of a scenario just off the top of my head. I'd be happy to answer any questions kind of with regards to that, because what we're trying to do is balance out that scenario of blood sugar. Any questions? And you hit *6, you can come back on in.
Doctor, I have one question from a pharmaceutical rep here in the New York area. Okay. He asked me, if he couldn't be on the call today, how does it metabolize?
In what way?
He wants to know if it does it go through the liver. That was his question to me. And I, of course, I'm not a medical professional. I'm a salesman. So I'm just asking the question.
Well, that's a good question. And, of course, it metabolizes through the liver. But the nice thing about the rhizotrione is it's really a pre-digested rice bran, which is pretty much, it instantizes the second it hits water. So you're going to absorb it through the small intestine. And then, like everything that goes through the small intestine, of course, you'll then process through the liver, the kidneys, and the rest of the system. But that's how it absorbs in.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome. Anybody else? Any other *6s want to?
All right, Dr. Kells, this is Jason Smith again. Can you elaborate a little bit about the pangamic acid? I know I looked at the booklet, and I know some doctors were talking about the additional coenzymes, such as coenzyme Q, or the oxygenating factors that the rhizotrione may offer.
Well, you know, it's interesting. If we just take a look at, of course, when we all were trained on the biochemical pathways, we looked, and all the things on the biochemical pathway, of course, were nutrients. And so if we can get those nutrients in place or block the pathway of some event we don't want to occur, like a COX-2 inhibitor, or a prostaglandin E2 inhibitor, which would both inhibit pain by stopping that pathway. We either eliminate or lower down the nutrients that feed that pathway. For example, if I want to lower prostaglandin E2, I would lower arachidonic acid, which is found in animal protein fatty acids, high purine type foods, for example. And then, of course, that will help lower inflammation. So, you know, if you take people off red meat, they tend to have their inflammation level go down. And if you put them on fish, which increases prostaglandin E1 and E3, the counterbalancing prostaglandins, of course, then their inflammation will go down. Now, that's how you would handle things nutritionally. Well, we use things like non-sterile anti-inflammatories, which will stop prostaglandin E2. And when we stop that prostaglandin, that way, then essentially we set up problems down the pathway, which are the healing problems, things like ulcerations and things like that can occur. Same problem we have to a lesser extent with the COX-2 inhibitors. Whereas if you get into putting in things like pangamic acid, which are natural in rice bran is amazing. It's got all the different nutrients. Especially the B vitamins. It's so high in B vitamins that the Great Earth Vitamin Store uses rice bran to make their vitamins. Now, obviously, they're going to take a little pill, and they're going to say, take that. Well, it's my belief that when you give nutrients that came from food, you have to give large enough quantities to go with the food you have. I mean, it's nice to take one little pill and say, take that. If it's not synthesized nutrients, you can get huge levels of nutrients in very small pills, but natural nutrients, you have to take a lot to get it, and that's why we recommend, you know, a scoop, sometimes a scoop per meal, before, during, or after, depending on what you're trying to accomplish. But the nutrients then go with the food, and you get all the nutrients. Pangamic acid is what, of course, the Russian athletes were using as their secret to performance, because it's enhances the oxygen capabilities of the body so much that the endurance as well as the explosion out of the muscles really made a difference. In addition, you get all the other B vitamins. For example, if you synthesize, you get B1, 2, and 3. But what about B4? I mean, nobody even talks about B4. We talk about B5, B6. And we don't talk about B7, 8, 9, 10, 11, because they can't be synthesized. An example of this would be vitamin E is wonderful for heart health. And tocopherol is what we call vitamin E, and alpha-tocopherol is one form of vitamin E, and you can synthesize that and give that to people. And we discovered that helped the heart. But what about all the different tocopherols, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, all the different tocopherols? And what about what we're finding that's even more powerful, tocotrienols? Well, tocotrienols are so powerful that there's isomers of tocotrienols that are up to 1,000 times more powerful than alpha tocopherol. But you can't synthesize them, so you don't hear about them. And what we're finding is, as we go back to the food, we can get more powerful nutrients to balance it out and match what we've always said, which is you get your nutrients from your food. It's the best way to get them. And the tocotrienols we're finding are helping people with heart disease, helping people with respiratory ailments, helping people with cramping, cardiovascular breakdown. And when you add that to things like the rutin and the bioflavonoid contents, you can protect them from a lot of the varicose veins and a lot of the vascular breakdowns also. Anyway, so that gives some of the answers.
Dr. Kellis, this is Dr. Smith. Aren't they using tocotrienol also for peripheral neuropathy?
Yeah, it's wonderful for peripheral neuropathy. Combination of tocotrienol, alpha lipoic acid, and of course your associated fatty acids, your omega-3 fish oils and flax oils and all that. The omega-3s, some omega-6s are all wonderful for that. And of course all your choline issues, your nacetyl choline, your phosphatidylserine, and then of course your electrolytes. You need to have the electrolytes to make that whole thing function. So neurologically, it's extremely helpful. But as you can tell, you notice I don't tend to go to that isolated thing, take this for that, because they work in concert with each other. The one thing that was very difficult for me, you know, coming through after studying all the biochemistry of the body and everything, was I wanted to take one nutrient and solve one problem, like you take one drug and solve one problem. It doesn't work that way. Nutrients to work effectively long-term have to be taken in concert, because if you take one nutrient, for example, we'll say you have a problem with blood sugar, so I give you a lot of vitamin B1. Well, that's wonderful, except for I now lower all your other Bs and I cause deficiencies. Or, you know, if somebody says, well, I'm having a problem sleeping, so I'm going to take tryptophan or 5-HTP or whatever metabolite you want of that. Well, that's a great idea, except for one thing. You know, calm the body and do all the same serotonin uptake inhibitor types of things. But here's the breakdown. It requires B6 to metabolize. So if you take a nutrient out of context, then you'll cause the deficiency. And if you have inadequate niacin, which is B3 or B6, then what will happen is the tryptophan may turn into niacin to fulfill that pathway. And if you go low on B6, then you can go low on other things. For example, if somebody takes a lot of amino acids, they lose their B6. They can have all the tryptophan in the world. They're not going to make serotonin without tryptophan or without B6. And same thing happens when you're, you know, dealing with melatonin and trying to balance that. So then if somebody says, well, I'll take a lot of serotonin to help them go to sleep. But if you don't understand the brain biochemistry, you don't understand that you need tyrosine to raise the norepinephrine, because you may get them to go to sleep, but now they're going to have a problem staying to sleep because they don't have enough tyrosine. So rather than all of us trying to, you know, do the equivalent of driving an 18,000-gear truck on shift trying to figure out where it's got to be, if you give the nutrients, then the body will utilize it as it needs it, and it's going to balance its natural with food, which is the way it's made, so you don't get peak valley type things. And that's why it's important to get a balance of these things, because you don't want too much norepinephrine, you don't want too much serotonin, you don't want too much GABA, you don't want too much NMDA, you don't want an imbalance, you may want to influence people towards seizure, which is an overactive, if they're going toward coma. If they're going toward seizure, you may want to bring them back down to coma by balancing out some of these things. But you don't want to do that isolated without the other nutrients, because which will cause the deficiencies. For example, just taking Mevacor to lower cholesterol is wonderful for lowering cholesterol. That's the good news. The bad news is we lower coenzyme Q10, which is one of the nutrients that protects the heart. So we then have to give extra coenzyme Q10. But if we don't know that, we may in fact cause the cardiovascular problem we're meant to solve. And you know, in the do no harm, we may have done harm inadvertently by not knowing what we're supposed to be covering. So when you take the rice bran, what it does is it supplies the coenzyme Q10. It supplies the alpha-lipoic acid. And each time I see breakthroughs in nutrition and all these ideas that everybody runs around and says, this is the nutrient du jour, the answer for everything, you know, you take a look and they're all right in rice bran already. And they're balanced. And that's the way we should take things. I find most people have sleeping problems tend to have potassium or calcium deficiency. Frequent urination or loose stools can set that up. So I want to make sure that they tend to keep getting enough potassium, which is very high in rice bran, and proper calcium. And that keeps them balanced so that we don't go low on calcium. And, of course, magnesium's there also, which nice thing about magnesium, if I give you magnesium as a supplement, I can cause diarrhea. But if I give you magnesium in a plant food, for example, the magnesium is carried in the chlorophyll. The chlorophyll releases a thing called myoglobin, which is like hemoglobin except for the plant. And that myoglobin will get the magnesium into the digestive system, into the heart, so as to keep you from having fibrillation. Which is amazing, getting it to the heart without causing diarrhea. Nutrients do that very well. I think synthetics tend to get in trouble, and that's why I try not to. You know, we used to give a lot of combination of, you know, drugs to kill parasite and nutrients to support the body and all these kind of things, and now we're strictly on whole foods wherever possible, unless somebody's allergic to them. Anyway, that make any sense?
Yes, it does, Dr. Kellis. It makes perfect sense, and from my perspective as a clinical physician, as a clinician and a physician who sees a multitude of patients with a multitude of different problems, oftentimes multiple problems in one patient, it just makes the whole job a lot easier if I think that what I'm recommending for someone will benefit them in terms of their entire system. Now, I'm fascinated by some of the things I've learned, and we're not trained as nutritionists. We're not even trained as physiologists. We're basically trained to practice dispensable pharmaceuticals.
Well, but you see, the great thing about this is when you're doing that, there's two things to watch out, the interaction of the drugs, and we've got computers to be able to watch that now if we can really control that properly. And the other thing is have a safety net to make sure you don't go deficient on the nutrients required to process the drugs. And that's the area, that's the field where in research we keep finding this huge gap between what's required to support the drug interactions and the drug interactions themselves between each other. And when you're taking the nutrients like rice bran, you can rest assured that you have the support to be able to take the drugs. So people say, you know, well, can I take this with drugs? Well, it's food. I mean, you're taking food. You're not taking something that's made to have a pharmacological effect on the body, and you're not taking mega doses. When I see people taking synthetic vitamins at, 6,000 times the RDA, well, you're going to get an effect on the body. There's no question about it. It's a pharmacological effect. And to do that without really understanding what you're doing is extremely dangerous. Just people taking high doses of vitamin C, and when I say vitamin C, I'm talking about ascorbic acid, because vitamin C, the actual vitamin C, the molecule, if you ever study it, actually has vitamin C, has copper in it, has bioflavonoids. It's a total compound. And if you just take ascorbic acid, the first thing ascorbic acid does is it goes in and grabs the metals in your body. And it acts as an antihistamine in high doses. So if I say, all right, I'm going to take 6,000 milligrams of vitamin C when I feel a cold coming on, well, that's great. Now, I do that for the next month. Well, what I don't realize is that vitamin C, ascorbic acid, acted like a chelate and grabbed the copper out of my body and started slowly pulling it out of my body. Now, if I'm really good at this, I can say, well, I'll take lysine, too, because I know lysine helps against virus. Well, but that's what the health food store people will say. We need to understand that that's copper lysinate that fights the virus. And what happens is as we put off yellow phlegm, that's copper. When the phlegm turns green, that's copper oxidizing. So when we lose the copper, we lose the ability to fight those viruses. We lose the ability to fight the bugs. Anybody who's had a pool that's gone bad and needs to put a shock treatment in it knows there's two things you can put in. We can put in silver, and that's why they're all running around saying, well, let's use colloidal silvers and things like this to take care of infection. Well, I don't know how to tell them this, but silver is a heavy metal and builds up in the body, and over a period of time, you keep taking it, you start turning blue and having all kinds of problems. And silver, when you take it with chlorine in the water, becomes silver chloride, which is extremely toxic and can cause arthritis all the way to death. So I'm saying, you don't want to take silver. Look straight up the periodic table. Right above that is copper. Copper is what your body needs. Now, you don't want to take too much copper either, but you want to get enough copper in your body to do that. And when we take ascorbic acid at high doses, we lower our copper. And I take lysine at high doses, I lower my copper. And it's the balance of taking those. And when you take food, you get copper, you get vitamin C, you get the bioflavonoids with it, which are your water-soluble antioxidants. And you get the oxidation of the copper, you get the oxidation of the minerals, and you get the fat-soluble, like vitamin E and A, which are fat-soluble antioxidants, which are really redox agents for those of us who actually went to biochemistry. And that protects us. And the lipoic acid and glutathione is the membrane transition to make that happen. So now rather than saying take a super antioxidant to take care of everything, I want to get a chain of antioxidants. I want something that takes my free radicals from the inside of the cell right down to the mitochondria, right down to the coenzyme Q10, and walk that free radical into the vitamin E, from the vitamin E over to the alpha-lipoic acid, from the alpha-lipoic acid out to the vitamin C through the bioflavonoid chain and out of the body. And that may take 90 different antioxidants or redox agents to do that. So to say we're going to get this one big thing in there and take care of it, like high doses of vitamin C, all that's going to do is help in the blood. And then over a long period of time, it'll cause deficiencies by chelating out the minerals if you don't know how to balance that. And that's why I'm really saying we've got to get people back to food, because a lot of the times things like chronic fatigue can be caused by not having enough copper, because copper makes hydrochloric acid. Copper controls your adrenals. Copper controls your thyroid, all these areas. And so what we end up doing is giving people thyroid to bring their temperature up, to give them their energy back, and when, in fact, they could have just gone low on copper. Just copper, zinc, iodine. Anyway, those are, I hope everybody can get what I'm trying to say, which is we really have to appreciate the integration and how it all works together in food.
Well, that's the thing that I'm beginning to appreciate, because, you know, as a clinician, we're trained to think in a box. And if a person has diabetes, we think diabetes. If a person has hypertension, we think hypertension. It's only been in the last few years that we've started to begin to put together the disease process as being one big comprehensive bowl of soup, and that, in fact, metabolic syndrome or some of the endothelial dysfunction that we have appreciated is all one disease process on a continuum. It's just a long spectrum, and that we are looking at markers like CRP and homocysteine and all these and inflammatory changes, and we don't really understand how it all interacts. And some of the best explanations I've heard is by listening and reading some of the things that you have laid down. And I can't help it when I see a patient, if they have hypertension, to think hypertension. I can't help it to look at a patient and say that they're diabetic. And my question is along the lines of, with recommending Rysotrione and some of the other products with Integris, you know, is creating a new paradigm and a new understanding of the recommendations that I give patients for their condition, and then also to offer some sort of expectations on behalf of the symptom benefit. You know, the biggest problems that we, the biggest thing that brings anybody into the office are symptoms, and half the time they don't know if they have elevated cholesterol, if their blood pressure is high, or even if they are new onset diabetic, or even have diabetes, and a lot of the diagnosis is made in the office. Now, what brings the patient to you is either a concern or a symptom, and the majority of people, if we can address weight loss, if we can address pain, if we can address something tangible that the patient has.
I'll give you what they're pain, weight, energy, digestion, skin, brain, function. That could be anything from depression to forgetfulness. Those are the top six things that people walk into our office for.
That's true.
And what I'm learning, and I'll tell you, we've come to the conclusion that every one of our patients, unless they're allergic, will get the Rysotrione. And the reason we do that is because I know I've got everything covered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just, you know what bothers me is when I see the wisdom of a time, and 20 years later, everybody's backing away from it. For example, 20 years ago, they said if you're taking beta-carotene, you're going to protect yourself from cancer. Now we discovered that by taking all the synthetic beta-carotene that we've been taking, we were actually suppressing lutein, which is another of the carotenoid group, and by doing that, we're causing macular degeneration. About 15 years ago, we were told that if you want to lower cholesterol naturally, you take high doses of niacin. Well, the good news is the niacin lowered the cholesterol. The bad news is niacin increased homocysteine. So the more we learn that isolated nutrients are just as harmful as deficiencies. And if you take a look at the disease process, what I've come to the conclusion, and this took me years to do this, is our disease process is a combination of deficiencies, toxicities, too much toxins, too few nutrients to protect us from the toxins and also support the cells, misalignments in systems of some kind or another over a genetic weakness. And then the opportunistic microorganisms come in and make it worse, and then we kill the microorganisms, they get somewhat better, but we still haven't solved the underlying environment that allowed the microorganisms in the first place. And that's what we have to do. We have to essentially make us look healthy, because microorganisms take over when an organism looks sick and dying. And so if we can keep the body from looking sick and dying, then the bugs aren't going to come in and take over. It's like maggots and buzzards. They don't bother, you know, animals until they're, you know, sick and dying. Then you see them all come out. Then they grow. I mean, essentially life is the process of keeping the bugs away until we die. I mean, if you really break it down to that, so they actually did a study of the plants. They took tomato plants out here at Fullerton, and they took healthy plants grown with compost, and they grew the plants healthy, and the bugs didn't go on. And then they did petrochemical fertilization with the NKP and all that, and the bugs were growing on it, and then they had to spray that to kill the bugs. But they took that and wrapped those two around, and the bugs wouldn't go on the healthy plant. And I guess the lesson there is if we can keep the plant looking healthy, or in this case the humans, us looking healthy, then essentially the bugs won't attack us, and they certainly won't get a stronghold, and we won't be a hospitable host. Anyway, that's my approach on it. So every one of our patients get, I'll tell you what we give them. We give them Rysotrione. And Rysotrione, we have two different products we give it in. We give it in the Life Solubles, which is straight Rysotrione, and we do that first to make sure there's no allergy or reactivity. And then if they're fine with that and they're pretty stabilized, we will move them to Essential 7. Now, Essential 7 increases by giving you the deep sea minerals, which gives you all the minerals and trace minerals. And to make the metabolic enzymes that run the body require both the vitamins that you get in Rhizotriene, which we call coenzymes, and the cofactors, which are the inorganic minerals and trace minerals that you find in the deep sea minerals. You put those two together with the amino acids that we get in medical whey, which is pre-digested whey, and now all of a sudden you can make the metabolic enzymes that run the body. It takes over 4,000 of those, and when we go deficient on those, different parts of the body stop working, and of course that starts looking like a disease process when in fact it may just be a deficiency process. So the other thing that helps with blood sugar, besides what I just talked about, is getting fiber in, protein, and essential oils. If you get the essential oils, the fiber, and the protein, you actually slow down the speed of blood sugar. It's sort of like taking a four-lane highway and making it into a bicycle path. You can deliver it one at a time, so if your insulin handling capability isn't as good, you can still handle it, because you slow down the speed in which the sugar gets in it. And I think that's why food has fiber in it. I think when we start taking fiber out of the food, we really did ourselves a disservice, because fiber cleans things up as well as slows down the speed you get your sugar. I think when we took the protein levels and made a lot of very undigestible proteins, we affected the body adversely. When we took the fats out, taking out hydrogenated fats and things that are never supposed to be there in the first place, and the trans fatty acids, is fine, but you need a lot of good cis fatty acids to make membrane integrity, make nerves work, to make hormones, and I think now we're finding that that's turning out to be a good thing. We took the egg out to protect people from cholesterol, and now we're discovering that poached and soft-boiled eggs actually are high enough in lecithin that it keeps cholesterol down, and in fact the cholesterol that raises would be the HDLs anyway, which are now the good cholesterol. So a lot of things we've learned are no longer what we thought they were. For example, we thought people who were hypertensive shouldn't take salt because salt raises blood pressure. Well, it raises blood pressure in hypotensive people. In hypertensive people, if you take the salt, it brings it up to the level the adrenals can handle oftentimes, and they discovered people are actually living longer who are hypertensive and take salt than people who don't take salt. So a lot of the things we thought were true are turning out not to be true, and I just go back to food and say I'm not going to test it on my patients. I'm going to give them food and allow food to take care of the problems that supporting people until they get what they need. So, any other thoughts? Any other questions?
Dr. Kellis, this is Jason Smith again. I've got 2 to 3 questions for you.
Okay.
Calcium, and is there enough supporting calcium within the Rhizotriene? Or, because a patient I was talking to and a doctor was asking about, is there any calcium supplementation required when utilizing this?
You know, I'll tell you what, straight Rhizotriene, you probably do need some supplementation. Let me tell you what I did to make that easier as you get going. The Essential 7, which is the product that has the fiber, has the minerals, has all that, each scoop of Essential 7 has 500 milligrams of calcium, 250 magnesium, and vitamin D3 from fish oil.
Okay.
So you get it not only adequate there. I'll tell you, we put a couple other things there that are not in any other product in the world that I know of. We knew that selenium was important for protecting from cancer, and we knew that the body did not absorb it as well as it could, so we grew broccoli in a soil of selenium and made selenium broccoli, and the selenium broccoli is in there to help get selenium at levels to protect colon cancer and things like that. We also went and got a lactobacillus called Lactobacillus spirogenes, which the Japanese use for balancing constipation and diarrhea to keep the system balanced so that it doesn't have yeast overgrowth and some of the pathogenic bowel organisms, things like Klebsiella and that type of thing, so as to help stabilize. The biggest problem is in the small intestine. You know, you you can do a lot of things for the colon. You can do a lot of things for the stomach, but the small intestine is normally where the battle's won or lost. That's where they get their bloat, their gas, their constipation, their diarrhea, their yeast overgrowth, their bacterial overgrowth. Oftentimes you get parasites back up in the gallbladder, and the whole hepatic bile duct will be blocked up, and we'll treat them for gallbladder problems by taking out the gallbladder, and only 50% of them have their symptoms relieved by that. And a lot of times that's because they have parasites like Giardia or Entamoeba histolytica up in the common hepatic bile duct. So a lot of things can really be involved here that are more complex. And if you get the good fibers in and the good nutrients in and the good lactobacillus in, you tend to stabilize that by just keeping the bowels moving, which will help with an awful lot of the allergy right there.
Tell us a little bit about some of the products, ribotrine or possibly the methylate, as far as activity against the homocysteine.
Well, you know, methylate, of course, was built to take homocysteine levels down by setting up, first of all, the methyl donors and then all the synergistic nutrients. Now, that's one where we really did do a lot of pharmacological things because we do use some synthetics there, and that's specifically used for people who tend to have high homocysteine levels, so we can convert it to SAMe, which, by the way, for those of you who tend to have people who get depressed and manic depressive, you give them higher levels of this methylate, and you may be just absolutely shocked how that balances out, because SAMe is one of the best things we've seen for depression, mood swings, and bipolar situations. You get that and the minerals balanced, and, of course, lithium's one of them, but according to Dr. Cater, who was one of the research doctors working at our office, he discovered that not only lithium, but potassium and sodium are required. So the balance of your one-valent ionic minerals is very powerful to the bipolar-type situation. And a lot of that could be caused by a toxicity from something like mercury, which can go single-valent or close divalent. And that mercury can suppress, lithium, potassium, and sodium, and, of course, affect how the body responds. It can cause depression, things like that. And the reason I say that is because toxicology can affect minerals. If I have a lot of mercury, mercury can suppress. Mercury, cadmium are all in the same column as zinc. So if I have a lot of cadmium from cigarettes, it can suppress my zinc. For example, I quit smoking, all of a sudden I start craving food. Well, a lot of that could be I absorbed some, there's a lot of reasons for that, many reasons. That's a very model. But one of them is I now start absorbing zinc, and the cadmium was suppressing zinc. Molecular weight of zinc is about 65, cadmium is about 113. Mercury is about 200. So if you're smoking cigarettes and you have a mouthful of mercury fillings, and not saying all mercury fillings are causing problems, but if you have one that's outgassing, then that can suppress your ability to absorb minerals of zinc. So it doesn't matter how much zinc you take, you may find yourself low in zinc, which, of course, will affect the immune system. It'll affect enzymes. It'll affect prostate. I mean, it goes on and on. Zinc's very valuable. Taste and smell. And so if your taste and smell is hampered, then all of a sudden you get taste and smell back when you stop smoking cigarettes, then you may have a ravenous appetite. In other words, toxicity can cause deficiency. Also, if you're low on essential oils and chemicals and pesticides and perfumes and diesel fuel come in, you become like a sponge to absorb those. And when you absorb those, you can get multiple chemical sensitivity, which we're seeing more and more of. Because we have so many people low on the essential oils that will keep you like a duck, where you repel the chemicals and that instead of absorb it like a sponge.
I don't know.
So minerals and vitamins and fatty acids all protect you from toxicology, and toxicology essentially attacks a lot of the minerals and things through fight for sight type applications of common toxicology, which is dose and duration. Anyway, so, and then we see disease process. And, of course, at the cell, you may have pain might be something that happens, or numbness, or weight gain. You start getting edema. A lot of the weight problems we see don't have any, even have high triglycerides. So if they have a weight problem, it's more likely a toxicology or an imbalanced hormonal system or something where estrogen's restoring or something's off other than they just have high triglycerides causing fat. Energy may go down. Energy may go down on deficiencies, toxicology, structural misalignments. People who have whiplash unresolved can have problems with energy. And how's nutrition support all that? Well, if you have a stress on your body, you will utilize your nutrients faster. If you drink Starbucks coffee, you'll wash out your nutrients as well as affect cardiovascular health and lymph system performance. If you drink soft drinks with phosphoric acid, the phosphorus, of course, is going to be an antagonist against calcium, which can set you up for osteoporosis and, of course, sleeplessness and cramping muscles and stamina issues and on and on and on. Alcohol can dry out the fatty acids in your liver, which sets you up for scarring the liver or sclerosis. And then that sets you up for not being able to store your fat-stored oils, things like vitamin E, vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin K, all critical. And then we wonder why we're having a problem clotting and absorbing calcium and things like that, because we don't have our fat-stored vitamins, because we have high amounts of missing things like that. And so what ends up happening is we have a disease process take place. So people say, how much should I take? You should take more if your body needs more. And that it's really dose dependent on whether we're taking a lot of things that take nutrients away or working out like crazy and sweating out all of our mineral salts. And you may want to take more for those people. And we find that most of our patients, we give them a scoop of either rhizotrine in the beginning and then work them to E7 per meal until they stabilize and then cut it down to one or two a day. And that tends to work pretty well.
So you're suggesting that patients that, let's say patients don't have any significant metabolic derangement that we are aware of.
Oh, then I'd give them one or two scoops of E7 and tell them to enjoy life, because now you don't need to take all those multivitamins. See, the funny thing about a multivitamin is you get a synthetic vitamins and chelated minerals. You only get about 10 chelated minerals, like the other 50 that we list as essential minerals. Trace minerals are not necessary, like there's enzymes we don't need all of a sudden. And so we have what I call an essential 2. Well, essential 7 has the other 5 things plus the completion of those minerals and vitamins. It has your fiber, it has your protein, it has your enzyme, it has your fatty acids, it has your lactobacillus, it has the whole thing all together in one total package, where if they take a couple scoops of that, it takes care of their daily needs of all their nutrition. And I guess my goal is to try to make it so it's easy for them to take. They can take it as a soup. Just put a little bit of warm water. Try not to get the temperature over 118. Over 118, we start killing enzymes, and we don't want to do that, because then they got to work harder to digest the food, which is one of the problems we have.
And so let's say a patient with arthritis, hypertension, diabetes, obesity, gout, and for instance,
those are the things you were saying had no metabolic problem?
No, not that. I'm talking about a different example.
Oh, okay. dang.
Presents to you, and you, of course, they're on multiple medications, and presents to you with these issues. What would be your recommendation for rhizotrine?
Well, let's take them one at a time, okay? I find a couple things are going on in people who are chronically ill over a long period of time. One of them is they're not getting the nutrients, and the other one is they normally have blocked pathways of some kind. I picture somebody with arthritis. If you go and just do an enzyme clean out where you actually increase the enzyme content in their bloodstream, you'll clean out the capillaries, open things up, and change the whole way the cells function. If you ever want to see that in action, take a drop of blood and put it under a microscope before a cleanse, and then take a drop of blood, put it under a microscope after a cleanse. You'll see rouleauing and sticking together because the voltage in the cells have gotten below the 40 minimum required to keep cells functioning. So they start clumping together, and these strings that look sort of like worms could never in a million years do it, go down capillaries and feed the body. You've got to have 65 millivolts just to make a cell operate properly. So essentially what happens is you have that and you have blocked up capillaries. So you can't get the nutrients down the capillaries, so you don't get the lactic acid out and the uric acid out, and they can start getting burning in the muscles and things like fibromyalgia and polymyalgia, and, you know, a lot of those types of things. And at the same time, they don't get the oxygen and nutrients and things in. If we do a cleanse, and this is something I'll share with you, we do it on about 90% of our patients do a cleanse and put the nutrients in place. At the end of the cleanse, about 60% of the symptoms are gone.
So you do you're talking about that 7-day cleansing?
You betcha. In the first 3 days, we clean the whole system out. Now, I don't recommend you start anybody first day on a cleanse. I think you start up building their body up to be able to handle it by giving them E7. And a lot of people have sweet cravings, and the sweet cravings are because they're feeding extra bugs and fungus and all kinds of things. If we dilute some aloe vera and then have them swish and swallow after each meal, that'll start killing the bugs that are making them crave the sweets.
You said aloe vera.
Aloe vera, the aloe 7000. It's unbelievably powerful. In fact, I know there are physicians out there who are drawing it through filters and injecting it in tumors and watching them shrink and things. It's unbelievably powerful aloe that's very pure, therapeutic grade type aloe.
Is that one of the products that Integris has?
Yes. My feeling is if we're going to have a tool, I want to make sure we have the best tool. And so I'm a real stickler for that. That our mucopolysaccharide count is over 28,000 on that. And the reason we call it aloe 7000 is because you can dilute it with 3 parts water, 1 part aloe, swish and swallow and get something that's more powerful than any of these health food stores have, and pure also. Now, that kills the sweet cravings. You take that after each meal, about an ounce of that. Just swish and swallow after each meal for a little while. Then what you do is you take the Clanzyme, which is, and that's a whole, that does so many things in itself, it's unbelievable. It's got enzymes in it that, for example, protease. We take protease, and since all enzymes are pH-driven, in other words, if I am at the wrong pH, the enzyme's ineffective. So what we do is we put in enzymes that are 3 pH, 4.5 pH, and 6 pH. So you constantly get protease helping break down proteins, because we're discovering that higher protein content is what's causing a lot of the allergens that we're seeing more and more of, and that could be anything from mucosal problems to bloat to pain and achiness. And so we bring that in, plus the protease kind of acts like Pac-Man to clean out all those capillaries and actually clean the lymph system and the whole digestive path. And so those enzymes taken with food help you digest food, but when they're taken with pre-digested food like E7, where they can take as much of that as they want to feed their cells and their body, the enzymes will then start cleaning their body out. And when they clean their body out, they may get flu-like symptoms, they may get headachy, they may get all kinds of stuff for a couple days, because that's opening out all the poisons that have been in them. And after that, they can finally start losing weight, they can get their energy back, their brain gets clear. It's unbelievable the results we've been getting with that, and I've done over 10,000 of these now. It was not something I just did on a whim. We did over 10,000 of them at the center over the last 20-plus years and have gotten phenomenal results. And my goal was to get this out so all physicians can use this as a way to, you know, cleanse patients. And, of course, I put it in with Paragon, which are the herbs that can help get rid of parasites in the colon and that area, which we're finding, you know, more often, more than 50% of our patients are showing up to have some sort of microorganism, a lot of those being parasites. And, of course, we're in Southern California, so we'll be at a higher rate than the rest of the country. But any place that doesn't freeze in the wintertime is at high risk. And, of course, with the, you know, the sexual revolution, all these things, we pass parasites and things all over the place, so... So I find more parasites. Parasites are parasites, STDs. Yeah, I mean, just the microorganism count is so much higher. Mycoplasma. We get. I mean, the second I get rheumatoid arthritis, I check them for mycoplasma. I get asthma, I check them for roundworm. I get osteoarthritis, I check them for blastocyst hominis. I get ankylosing spondylitis, I check them for Klebsiella. And I do that because about a third of them have those. You get rid of those, and the whole thing starts going away. You know, I mean, you know, I'm not against going after things another way, but I certainly would like to try the simple solutions first. And that's where the cleanse is very helpful. And it's very self-explanatory, and I'd be happy to help any doctor who wants to start using that program to use it, because my goal is to help people all over the country.
Do you recommend that program for most clients who are seeking weight loss?
About 90% of them. But I don't start that program until I put them on a month of Essential 7, Cleanzyme, and Aloe 7000. And if they have ulcers, I take the Cleanzyme after the meal. Ulcers are acid indigestion because you don't know what kind of state you're in. And the Aloe will heal over a month, all those ulcerated sores and things. So that then if you take the enzymes in high doses, they won't burn an ulcer. So that's and making sure that they monitor their blood sugar, because if somebody's taking insulin, you certainly don't want to drop their blood sugar real fast. They have to be able to adjust dose, and if they don't know how to do that, then I don't use it on those. So those are the two I watch out. And if they're just on glucophage and they're watching the blood sugar, I'm fine on that.
So would you recommend that any and all patients would be started on risotrione before a cleanse, or?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and then perhaps for a month or two?
Yeah, risotrione, and you want to make sure they get their minerals. I like the deep sea minerals, the Kona Gold, and then help them with the Cleanzyme to help digestion, because that Cleanzyme also has some antifungal and some anti-Helicobacter pylori. Herbs that kind of help stabilize digestion, plus it helps clean out the liver. So if you add that in and take the Aloe 7000, you can really smooth some things out.
Dr. Kellis, just a couple of things you mentioned about absorption, and I remember looking at some clinical information as well, looking at some of the literature regarding how the risotrione gets deeper into the digestive system and gets really where it needs to be. Can you expand on that?
I'm sorry, fire that at me again.
Regarding the risotrione and the absorption in the digestive tract.
Well, the nice thing about what we've done with the products, and this is something I always wanted to do, except for my practice I couldn't, is we got all the products so they're require zero digestion. And I actually, after doing enough study of the hydrochloric acid levels, you know, doing Heidelberg tests on patients, we came to the conclusion, and it was kind of an interesting one. You know, I had heard that people when they were 70-year-olds had 15% of the hydrochloric acid they had when they were kids. But as I started studying it, I studied it that the people who had autoimmune disease were in sympathetic dominant mode, and therefore they're in fight or flight. And so they don't repair, digest, restore. In other words, they don't go parasympathetic. And if they don't go parasympathetic, they're not going to digest. When people are allergic, they're in sympathetic dominant. Any disease situation that keeps them in sympathetic dominant, chemically sensitive, chemically overwhelmed, keeps them sympathetically dominant, and they cannot repair, digest, restore. So you're not going to pull people out of those chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, and multiple chemical sensitivity, and rheumatoid arthritis, and ankylosing spondylitis, and lupus, and all these degenerative-type diseases, whether they're autoimmune or overreactive, just generally speaking, unless you can get nutrients in. So what we did was we took the nutrients, for example, the protein. normally whey protein can run anywhere between 30 and 50,000 deltons, which is essentially the size of the protein. And we broke down that protein to 700 deltons. At 1,000 deltons, it'll absorb right through the intestinal tract. We did the same thing with the rhizotriene, which makes it different from any other form of rice bran, stabilized or otherwise. So that when you put it into water, it all of a sudden, one, goes reactive, and two, is absorbable. But the minerals, these are not chelated minerals, these are ionic minerals. Why? Because a chelate is wonderful for taking the mineral into you, but if you don't have enough hydrochloric acid to break the chelate, you're going to sit there and have a bound mineral that does you no good at all. So we're using ionic minerals and discovering that people all of a sudden, their cells and their body starts working properly. So the rhizotriene, the Kona gold, the our whey protein, and even things like our veggie caps, where we actually use vegetable green vegetables inside the essential seven. These things are all made so you can absorb it without any digestion, because I'm assuming people don't have digestion. Now, if you do, you get it and don't have to work hard, that's all.
Can you expand briefly before we let you go? The everlasting and everlasting support. I was talking to someone who had been on it, and they had mentioned some things that they'd even heard where some people even got reimbursement from their workman's comp or healthcare insurance carriers due to the effectiveness of the everlasting and everlasting support regarding joint discomfort, et cetera.
Well, everlasting support is the newest one that we worked on, and that's we developed a thing called Enzarest, which are basically a combination of bioflavonoid compounds that control act as COX-2 inhibitors without putting you at risk for ulcers or kidney problems or heart disease or some of the other side effects. So anything that requires pain relief, the everlasting support helps with as a COX-2 inhibitor. And in addition to that, we put in glucosamine, and the reason we put glucosamine with the COX-2 inhibitor is because a lot of people take glucosamine, but they can't get it to the site of the pain because they're all blocked up with edema and capillary blockage and things like that. So if we can put a COX-2 inhibitor to bring the inflammation down, then the glucosamine can make a huge difference in the joints. Now, that's what we originally did with it. We started giving it to people, and what we discovered is the COX-2 inhibitor also lowered the inflammation, which helped protect these people from cardiovascular disease. So we'd watch cholesterols come down from, 120, 130 range down into 167, 169, that kind of range. And it was just amazing to watch drops in cholesterol requirement and how people seem to have less problems with varicose veins and the pain would go away. And people started using this for headaches and all kinds of things. So everlasting support is a phenomenal product, and I think Enzarest does a wonderful job. You look at it much to as a COX-2 inhibitor. It's not going to be a Vioxx that hits you really quick, but it's also, over a period of time, something you can take without causing problems. You take one with each meal. It's not a one-day product. You take three a day. Because they're water soluble and not long term relief. The other thing is you take the everlasting, which does four things. It increases the synovial fluid to lubricate the joint. It lowers the pain levels, and it also regulates the autoimmune side, so the joint or the tissue that is being attacked stops looking like a foreign invader, and the body stops attacking it. And that's what adding the acetylmaracylate and myristate, all the fatty acids does. It goes in and down-regulates that function. It also supports collagen growth. So those two products are kind of a one-two punch. The nice thing about the Everlasting, which is the colostin, which is what I just talked about, is you only take that loading dose in the beginning, and then you just take like one a day or two a day, depending on what it takes to keep it away after that, maybe one every other day, just to keep the dose up. Whereas the Enzarest, the first one I talked about, it works more like an aspirin, and helps to rebuild the joint. So one helps stop disease, the other one helps rebuild the joint.
Dr. Kellis, one last question. This is Jason Smith again. If a person or patient can't take the rizatrine in an oral application, can it be used in an intravenous or G2, PEG-2 type application?
Boy, you know, I don't like to go intravenous with just because of, you know, your body can handle nutrients much different. To go intravenous means you have to do things to make it pure enough that you destroy a lot of the enzyme content. And if you destroy that, then you're going to destroy a lot of the effectiveness.
Okay. I just want to know that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the classic, you know, do you pasteurize or don't you? Well, we discovered when they started pasteurizing the fruits and vegetables to make caps out of it, and then we ran it through the ORAC test, the oxidative reduction test, to see how effective it was. It was 4 to 5 times less effective after pasteurization than it was prior to pasteurization. Hmm. As far as an antioxidant, the enzyme level was almost non-existent. So you just rather not do that if you don't have to.
No, not at all.
If you want to feed raw nutrients, you know, I think medium-chain fatty acids and you know, different nutrients, minerals and vitamins and things, IV, I think that's when synthetics really do make a difference, because you're trying to do a pharmacological effect and make a difference. I think long-term feeding off the natural nutrients kind of almost defeats the purpose. The nice thing about these are you don't need to take them IV to absorb them, because they're already predigested.
Dr. Kellis, this is Dr. Smith. I have one last question for me for this time, and I just really appreciate the time that you've given us.
Well, I hope it helps in some way.
Oh, this is phenomenal. It helps me a lot just getting introduced, and I'm making recommendations to patients, and I just want to feel comfortable with how to do it. The biggest problem I've had with people so far in terms of resistance is the form that you have to take it. Now, myself, I've been taking it primarily by mixing it in mostly water, but occasionally I use a little juice, and then I've also tried to just eat it.
Sort of tastes like cookie dough, doesn't it?
Well, not quite that good.
we got to kill
the
bar.
The consistency is a little bit, it's okay, but it actually probably is a little bit better to take it that way if you take it in small doses than to take it with the water. But I just drink the water down.
Yeah.
Mix it up, and I just drink the water down and just knock it out. But
you can also mix it over food, you know.
Now, I'm sorry?
You can also put it over food.
Exactly. I put it over some cereal one time, and I put it over some oatmeal another time.
Sure.
And I've had recommendations with using it with yogurt
and
what have you. But one of the things that I just want to do and recommend to patients is a way that they can. Now, most people that are interested in helping themselves, they don't care how. They said, just give it to me, and I'll just take it. And they can live with it. But what alternative methods for ingesting it have you discovered? What I'm asking, and while we're on it, the dose effect that I'm using the rizotriene for first, and this is the first I know a little bit about E7, but I haven't recommended much of anything else to anybody other than the Kona Gold.
Well, we did flavor the E7, by the way, to make it so people would, people who complain about taste for whatever reason, we actually have a berry flavor on one of the E7.
Oh, yeah. Well, I understand that there's actually 4 flavors, if I'm not mistaken.
Let's see. There's a berry flavor, and there's a vegetable broth flavor.
Okay,
so
because
those are the only 2 right now.
Only 2? Okay, I don't know. That's what I was informed. Anyway, I'm getting my order. I just put my order in for that. But I'm recommending patients with complex issues and problems to start dosing themselves 4 to 5 times a day initially.
I think that's probably a legitimate thing to say, because they're probably so deficient at this point where they need things to bring it back.
Okay. And then as I learn more and as I learn more about other products and how I can help them more specifically, then I'll make other recommendations. But that's what I'm starting. Some of the people with complex problems and issues who tried everything, I've tried everything, they're on multiple medications, they have all these problems. But I'm so fascinated by the level of knowledge that you have about our physiology and the nutrients that affect us and it's been just wonderful, and I do appreciate the time that you've given us.
Have you got my books, by the way? I actually wrote a couple books on this, one of all the toxicology that we saw that affected it in the studies. We have about 1,300 studies, and what I did was I just made it into people-understandable terms to explain toxicology and things that can make you sick in one book, and the other book are all the nutrients and all the things we can do to protect ourselves from getting sick. So,
can you give us the names of both of those?
Surviving the Toxic Crisis is the first one, and that just teaches people what things to do to survive. And then the second one is Thriving in a Toxic World, which essentially teaches you how to stay healthy. And, of course, I have three questions consistent at the center, so I don't write books because I like writing books, because I will tell you right this. Now it takes about 2.5 years, and they're easy to conceive and hard to deliver, just like a baby. First one was, what can kill you? Second one was, what to do to protect yourself? And the third one was, how do I make it taste good? So we made a cookbook, and that has sauces and gravies and dressings that are all safe and convenient, have the right kind of oils and the right kind of...
Now, that's an additional book, or is that in one of these?
No, those are three different books that you might want to take a look at. I think we sell them as a package. I know.
Huh.
And I can give you the phone number to get that.
Okay, what is... Great. What is the third book that you mentioned?
The Toxic Immune Syndrome Cookbook.
Toxic Immune Center Cookbook?
Syndrome Cookbook. And it essentially shows us a lot of these syndromes that we have that are just really the inability to detoxify because we're low on nutrients or too high in toxins. Because over the last 200 years, we've gone lower and lower in nutrients in our food and higher and higher in toxins in our environment, and that's causing a lot of people to have illnesses because of that. And I just teach you how to help your patients with that. And essentially, if we don't help them, they're going to go to all these crazy things to do, and it's amazing what people will do if they don't get help from their doctors. I got to tell you something. It is unbelievable to measure what they'll believe. You can give a call to that number. It's toll free 888-244-4420. That's 888-244-4420.
Well, thank you, Dr. Kellis. I've got about 7 calls I've got to return.
Yeah, me too.
And I do, and I know you probably have a book.
We ran over, and I apologize.
No, listen. You don't have to apologize for anything, as far as I'm concerned. I really appreciate it. And what I'm going to do is to, whenever we can get together again, I'm going to make it my business to have some other doctors that are involved, and I'm going to make it my business to learn as much as I can about some of your,
it has
to share
with,
some of the knowledge that you've gained.
Well, it kind of has to do with caring about our patients. The reason I study on the weekends, the reason I study and I go all over the world and find out what's working is because if I don't, somebody's going to suffer.
That's right.
So, anyway, it's been a pleasure talking to you folks.
Dr. Kellis, thank you so much for your time. We will try to put together another call like this in the near future. We'll try to, obviously, next time we'll limit it to a certain amount of time because I know how busy you are, Bill. So thank you again for your time.
Thank you, everybody. Nice meeting you all.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Doctor, for all the information.
My pleasure. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone else.